This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring defense attorney, Hidden Killers daily contributor, and host of the Defense Diaries podcast, Bob Motta.
Let's talk about the cell phone a little bit. We'll talk about how it was destroyed or gotten rid of, or however he wants to define it at that moment in time. But first, I want to talk about the text messages and the monotonous fourth grade love notes that it felt like going back and forth. It did not necessarily feel like, oh, this is some, you know, jagged love affair with harsh, you know, oh my gosh, it's like, do you like me? I kind of like you. What do you want to do? I don't know what I want to do. Over. Oh my God.
Yeah.
They ain't got game. I'll say that.
Dude, no game. That was like, it was worse than like fourth grade text. It reminded me of like a fifth grade dance.
Yes.
Where like the boys are all on one side and the girls are all on one side and they're afraid to talk to each other. They're afraid to like,
yeah. You know, and everybody's dancing with their arms out like this.
Right.
That's how it felt. It did not feel like, oh, this is real solid evidence of some reason for, you know, murdering someone over some affair.
Super cringy too, yeah. Man. And it was cringy in the sense that you've got John O'Keefe's family, his brother sitting there, like, and I'm sure they were forewarned. Mm-hmm. That it was coming, you know, that they have to sit here and watch this woman that their brother or son was dating. Mm-hmm. And like, she's doing this behind his back. I thought it was a fascinating thing. And I'm of course looking at it from the perspective of a lawyer, like, all right, what was Lally hoping that would achieve?
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you. I, it certainly doesn't make me think that she is, Karen is the woman scorned, mm-hmm. who is, you know, just destroyed by the fact that John O'Keefe is apparently moving on, you know, that like we've heard all these stories that, you know, he was done with the relationship, it was on the ropes,
yeah,
you know, and that there's this theory that Karen wasn't going to allow for that to happen. You certainly don't get the vibe from that in light of the fact that she's doing that. But then you factor in, we heard about the Aruba trip, you know, with the mm-hmm. Sullivan sisters and Karen having this blow up with the younger sister, Etta. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have this thing where they're telling each other to fuck off. And
yeah.
Karen feels bad at the end of it and offers to pay for her room.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, but like this gives you a window into Karen's mindset that act was bullshit, that mm-hmm. she still was pissed. She still thinks something happened with John and Etta. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Higgins is smart enough to know. I mean, the guy's a cop. Like, yeah. He asked the same question a million times. Like, why did you get my number and why did you reach out? Mm-hmm. Like, he's smart enough to know. And that crew is small enough to where that story definitely made its way to Brian Higgins,
yeah.
about what happened in Aruba. And, you know, he's like, he knows that went down with John and Karen. Like there's like, I don't think that there's any, like, I'm surprised, frankly, that Jackson didn't ask him on the stand whether or not he had heard about what had happened with Karen, John and Etta in Aruba.
Yeah.
You know, because the way that Higgins is acting in the text messages where he's repeatedly asking over a period of days, why'd you get my number and why'd you hit me up? I thought you all were good.
Yeah.
Like, what's your game here? Like, you know, and he fleshed it out on the stand. He's like, look, I'm not going to be the middleman here. Like, I'm not going to be a pawn for her in her fight with John, mm-hmm. like her trying to make John, you know, jealous of us, or making him privy that you're flirting with me and you're using me for that reasons, you know, like he was pretty candid. He's like, yeah, you know, I found her to be an attractive woman. You know, it's like, cause he asks about, like, he asks the question when she brings up the Aruba trip, he's like, well, did they bang? You know, I'm like, oh my God, you know? And like, and he's constantly trying to pull it out of her to, you know, like, what yeah. are you looking for here? Are you looking for a real thing? Are you looking for a one night stay? Like, you looking yeah. to hook up? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, how that played for Lally is like, I don't know that it helped him. I know mm-hmm. that he was trying to cast Karen in the shade, you know, just the viewpoint of like, all right, she's shitty.
Yeah.
She's a shitty person. Like she's doing shitty things behind John's back. And like, that's going to cast shade on her. And I think that may be true, but at the same time, I don't think that it helped anybody believe that she murdered him because she's doing that. Like right before this thing goes down, you know what I mean? It's like, and we've been talking about like that second degree murder thing is going to be really hard to get to.
Yes.
Like if she's getting convicted, it's going to be manslaughter while intoxicated. It's going to be that charge she'll be found guilty of. I don't believe that they're ever, and this is without having heard the evidence, like in total, but I just don't know how they're going to get to the intent on that. Like I'm just not seeing it unless they can prove that Karen, when she went home after dropping John off, was doing things like deleting Ring camera video, setting John's vehicle up in that position so that she could make it look like she damaged the taillight by bumping the car when she's pulling out, you know, like, because then if they can kind of prove that she did delete the Ring cam video, which I don't know that they're going to be able to do, it's going to be very problematic. If they can prove that, then it changes your viewpoint on Karen a lot, because then you're like, okay, like she was doing shit. Like she had to have known she hit John. Otherwise, why is she doing all this shit to mask the fact that she cracked the taillight? You know what I mean? It's like, it's one of those things. It changes the game completely. And then you have to counter that with the 227 search. Did it happen or didn't it? Like, cause only one of two things happened here. Either Karen hit him or something happened in the house. And like, you've got these two, like to me, these two huge, huge pieces of evidence for either side that can swing my opinion one way or the other. Like if it turns out that the cell or the Google search really did happen at 2:27 AM, I am hard pressed to think of any reason that she'd be doing that other than she had knowledge that John was in the front yard as a result of something that happened in the house. Because we know, if she saw John there as a result of him being hit by a vehicle, they would have called 911.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's no explanation for that search if it really happened then.
And I think we'll learn more when they have the cell experts up there. From what I believe on that, it was a window that browser open was a 227. The actual search occurred later when another browser was open and sequentially more searches took place in those times.
That's what their experts say.
But we'll see. Yeah. I mean, that's what the experts are there for.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.